off.
Oh, you remember.
Would now be a bad time to say, what is soup?
Each evening I gave a reading, while Ripley listened in hope of further jogging her memory. In the daytime, I experienced New York at first hand. I was able to watch New York's famous street naming committee in action.
So, the big wide one. How about Broadway?
Wide Street.
Broadway.
Wide Street.
Draw! Broadway it is.
I also experienced the wonderful diners, eateries, and face-stuffing houses.
I'll have the 8-ounce steak, please.
It's not 8 ounce, sir. It's 8 acre.
This was not the land of plenty. It was the land of far too much. But I loved this young, vibrant, possibly soon to be obese country. As did Harry.
New York has reinvigorated my inventing ambition.
How, sir?
I've invented a new invention so I can communicate with all my wives without going near them.
How does it work?
In Britain, when milk goes off, we go... But in this land of infinite ingenuity, they turn it into what they call yogurt, for which I shall insist on pronouncing yogurt.
You communicate via yogurt.
Yogurt. Via yogurt pot and string. Put this pot to your ear.
Very well.
Hello, Pip-Bin. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It works! I'm going to make a fortune!
Of course I heard you. I'm only 3 feet away. And I now have a sticky ear.
I have purchased 200,000 pots of yogurt and all the string in America. Soon, all the world will be talking on my string potophone.
Meanwhile, my readings continued to triumph, even attracting my fellow writers.
This is America's preeminent man of letters, Mr. Edgar Allan Twain. I write about happy-go-lucky American boys being terrified by mysterious gothic events. Have you heard of Huckleberry Finn and the Pendulum?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, Miss Hunt.
What is that squeaking?
Mice. I have mice. An old southern habit.
Do you know my work?
Yes, indeed. Your books are awful. I hate the way you make Mr. Benevolent less handsome and brilliant than he is. And he keeps losing, though he will not lose forever.
How odd. Your laugh sounds like his.
Now, may I introduce my companion, Miss Trixie Belle Calico Candy?
Hello, Brother Pip.
What?
Alas, she is mute.
Am I?
Oh, yes.
But she just said...
Who are you talking to? Dick claims to be my husband.
Hello, Ripley.
Do I know you?
No. And she is, for the last time, mute.
Sorry.
Mute.
That sound. The tapping foot, the creaking gate, the crying child. Disaster, blood, and death.
She turned pale, clutched her chest, and staggered backwards into a huge pile of my books, which toppled on top of her.
No, rightly.
Oh, Pip.
You remembered my name. Get in.
But then she slipped into book-battered unconsciousness.
We must get her to a doctor.
I can take you in my carriage.
Excellent idea.
This is no time to laugh like Mr. Benevolent. And why are you winking at each other?
We rushed rightly into Grimpunch's carriage. Alas, it could go but a short distance.
The streets are tangled up with string.
It's a huge slick of yogurt up ahead.
Harry!
You've clogged up our whole city, you moose!
I watched helplessly as they dunked him head first into the giant yogurt slick.
We must help him.
I don't think so.
You have locked the doors.
Yes, because we're not going to the doctor. We're going to visit someone much more evil.
The dentist?
You'll find out. Driver, turn around.
But my wife...
I don't care about your wife. I care about my vengeance. You killed my brothers.
People have to stop taking me, killing their relatives so personally.
My words were brave, but I feared this man's vengeance might cost rightly her life. As we left the string-jammed city, she stirred.
Dear Pip, we frolicked like otters.
You remember?
We rode naked while the rest of your cavalry regiment was asleep.
Not actually me. Rest now.
All that night we crossed the unformed expanses of America. And as dawn broke, we came to a halt in a small, dusty town, where to my relief, I saw a familiar face.
Mr. Edgar Allan Twain, you must help me. I have been kidnapped.
Excellent.